Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Hey, do you know about the law of the harvest? We're going to be talking about that today on Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today is Thursday, May the 18th, and it is a beautiful, beautiful day in Texarkana, Texas. We got rain last night, but everything is green and the sun is shining, and it is a beautiful day. Well, let's talk about the law of the harvest. The Lord tells us that we will reap what we sow. It's true in agriculture, and it's true in life. So in agriculture, we know that if we go to the nursery and get some watermelon seeds and you plant watermelon seeds, you are going to reap, hopefully, watermelons. If you plant tomato seeds, you get tomatoes. If you plant cucumbers, you get cucumbers. That's the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. Now, that is true in agriculture. It's also true in life. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. For the one, it says, who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. It works in the negative. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But it works in the positive. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. You're going to reap the fruit of the Spirit as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit's control. You reap what you sow. As the law of the harvest teaches, not only do you reap what you sow, but you reap later than you sow. If you go to the nursery today and you get some seeds to plant tomatoes, I don't know a lot about this stuff as far as me having a garden, but I know enough. And so you get seeds and you say, hey, I'm going to plant these tomato seeds, and then hopefully I'm going to get a plant out of that, and hopefully I'm going to get tomatoes out of that. If I do that today, I don't get tomatoes tomorrow. I will get tomatoes eventually, but it's going to come down the line. So you reap what you sow. A tomato seed reaps a tomato plant, reaps tomatoes, and you reap later than you sow. Doesn't happen overnight. And thirdly, you reap more than you sow. One tomato seed doesn't produce one tomato. You get more than what you sow. I love the statement that says, any fool can count the seeds in a watermelon, but only God can count the watermelons in a seed. We don't know how many watermelons are in that seed. You plant that seed and it grows, and all of a sudden you have 10, 15, 20, 30 watermelons from that one seed. And so you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, you reap later than you sow. That is the inviolable law of the harvest. It's true in agriculture. It's true in life. So I'm in a series on Wednesday nights at First Baptist Texarkana on the book of Genesis, and I'm calling it In the Beginning. And I've been in this series for a long time. We're going verse by verse, and there's lots to share and say about the book of Genesis. So I think I've been in this series for well over a year, and we're just in chapter 29. But last night I preached about Jacob and Laban, his father-in-law. You know, Jacob is the son of Isaac. The promise from God, he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Why is that important? Because Abraham's firstborn is Ishmael. Ishmael's the father of the Arabs. The promise doesn't come through Ishmael. Ishmael's the son of the slave woman, as it says in Galatians chapter 4. His mother was Hagar, the Egyptian maid. And God's promise didn't come that way. It came through miracle birth. Abraham and Sarah, who was barren, who was sterile, who had never had a child, She had Isaac when she was 90 years old. Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac is the son of miracle birth. All the promises go from Abraham to Isaac. And Isaac marries Rebekah, and Rebekah has twins, Esau and Jacob. And the promise doesn't go through Esau. Esau is the father of the Edomites. And Edom, if you look on a map of the Holy Land, Edom is there on the eastern side. And the Edomites were enemies of Israel. And so the Lord didn't choose Esau. So the promise doesn't go through Esau, even though he was the older. The promise goes through Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now, Jacob came out of the womb. He was second born of the twins, but he came out of the womb holding on to Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob, which means heel grabber, which means supplanter, which means trickster, which means con man. And if you know anything about the patriarch Jacob, you know that in his life, he was very deceitful. He snookered his brother Esau into selling his birthright. And Esau is just a picture of a man dominated by the flesh. And Esau said, "What is my birthright to me? I'm starving to death. And I'll sell it for a bowl of that stew you're making, Jacob." And so Jacob tricked Esau, and, you know, he said, "Hey, give me some of the stew." And Jacob said, "Well, I'll give you some of the stew I'm making if you sell me your birthright." And that's when he said, "Well, what is my birthright to me? I'm starving to death." And so he sold it for a bowl of stew, sold something so valuable for a bowl of stew. Well, Jacob tricked him into doing that. And then in the very next chapter, he steals his blessing as Isaac, who is old. He was 130 years old, and his eyes were dim. He couldn't see. And he was going to bless his son Esau. The blessing of the father was so very critical. He was going to bless Esau, the oldest. And he said, "But make, you know, go out, hunt, get some game, and then let me eat it, make a savory dish that I love. You know, I love that, the game that you go out and hunt, and I just love that." And so Esau went, and Rebekah, Isaac's wife, she overheard that, and she went to her son Jacob. Jacob was her favorite, just as Esau was Isaac's favorite. Problems in the family there when you play favorites. But she tells Jacob, and she says, "You pretend to be your brother Esau." He said, "I can't do that. Esau's a hairy guy, and I'm a smooth man." And she said, "Here's how we'll do it." She put animal skins on his hands, because Esau evidently had a lot of hair on his hands and his arms. And she put Esau's clothes on him, and she made a meal and gave it to Jacob to give to his father. And Jacob's father, Isaac, said, "Who are you, my son?" He said, "I am Esau, your firstborn." He said, "Well, the voice sounds like the voice of Jacob," but then he felt his hands. He said, "The hands are like Esau." And then he smelled him. "Come closer to me, my son." He smelled him. And he said, "Oh, the smell of Esau," because he was wearing Esau's clothes. And so he blessed him. And Jacob stole the blessing as he pretended to be his brother. And Esau didn't like that too much. And Esau vowed to kill him. And so Jacob is sent away, and he's sent away to a place called Padan Aram, a place called Haran, which his mother was from. And his mother said, "You go to my people and you find a wife there." And he goes, and he falls in love. He meets, God guides him like a guided missile right to his mother's brother, Laban. Laban has daughters. He has a daughter named Leah, and he has a daughter named Rachel. The oldest was Leah. The youngest was Rachel. He, meaning Jacob, loves Rachel. The Bible says that Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was beautiful in form and in face. She had a great figure. She had a beautiful face, and Leah didn't. So the contrast is there. Leah had weak eyes. You know, that's an interesting little phrase. It's like, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean she needed glasses and they didn't have glasses back then? She was always squinting. I think it's a contrast between one sister is drop-dead gorgeous and the other sister just didn't make it. I think you could put a note in your Bible in Genesis 29 when it says 29:17, and Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Leah looked a whole lot better in the dark. That's kind of what the scripture is saying there. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said to Laban, listen, you know, I want to marry Rachel. And he said, well, work for me for 7 years. That'll be your dowry that you pay for Rachel. And so after 7 years, hey, true love waits, and he did it. And it says, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. True love waits. When people say, well, I can't wait, I'm in love with this girl, I can't wait, I have the urge to merge, and if you love me, you'd let me. If that guy really loves that girl, he can wait, because true love waits. And so Jacob waited, and it says that the 7 years seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. But at the end of 7 years, he said to Laban, Rachel's dad, he said, now give me my wife, for my time is completed. I served you for 7 years. I want to marry her. I want to go into her. Jacob had the urge to merge with beautiful Rachel. And it says, Laban gathered all the men of the place, and they made a feast, a big wedding feast. And I watched this. Now it came about in the evening that he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob went into her. Jacob consummated the marriage. He thought he was getting Rachel, but in the nighttime, with her veil on, he was tricked. And it came about in the morning that, behold, it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, his father-in-law, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? I think as the words came out of Jacob's mouth, why have you deceived me? It dawned on him. Well, I'm a deceiver. I am reaping what I have sown. I have been deceived by the master deceiver. I mean, I'm small potatoes compared to Laban's deception. As one commentary said about Laban's deception, it was a masterpiece of shameless treachery. I mean, to pull the old switcheroo on this guy who's worked for you for 7 years in the sincerity of his heart, who loves your younger daughter, Rachel, and you give him Leah, the girl that just didn't make it. I shared with the church last night, I said, you know, Jacob, on his wedding night in the darkness, he thought he was getting a Chevrolet Corvette. You know, that car goes from 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds. Beautiful, beautiful vehicle. He thought he was getting a Chevrolet Corvette, so to speak, and he got a Chevrolet Chevette. He got Leah. The Chevrolet Chevette goes from 0 to 60 eventually. And it's just not what he wanted. Now, not to throw Leah under the bus too bad, but here's the thing. Jacob was reaping what he had sown. He had sown seeds of deception. He was reaping deception in his own life. And just as he tricked his father-in-law and pretended to be Esau, here you have Leah pretending to be Rachel, tricking Jacob into consummating the marriage with her. And he did end up marrying her. He got Rachel a week later, and then he had to serve 7 more years for Rachel. But he had 2 wives, and then he had 2 maids with the 2 wives. He ended up having children by 4 women. And you can imagine what life was like in his household with 2 sisters who are jealous of one another, bitter at one another. It was a disaster. Hey, you reap what you sow. It's the law of the harvest. So what seeds are you sowing? What are you planting in the ground, so to speak? That's going to come up one day. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
you get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Cultivating healthy relationships is rarely easy, but Jesus provided a standard for righteousness that helps guide our communication with others. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares biblical principles from the Sermon on the Mount that we can apply to our daily interactions and our marriages. Join us for the series 18 Minutes with Jesus, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
God made His design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net. Here's Ellis Kraft of Reach a Village Ministries.
Olga's neighbors shared Jesus with her as a child. Her father became a Christian first, but she refused to believe. Everything changed for her when the Ukraine war came to her doorstep in 2022. The fear of death and uncertainty of eternity overwhelmed her, and she finally asked God to forgive her sins and save her. Your gift will be doubled today to help reach children like Olga. We need some large gifts here at the end of the campaign to reach our goal of 60,000 children reached. $100 will reach 200 children. $500 would reach 1,000 children. To give, I want you to go to reachavillage.org or call 833-7-REACH-7. Again, to call Reach a Village, I want you to call 833-7-REACH-7.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we're talking today about the law of the harvest from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. I love what someone once said concerning the Ten Commandments and in general, the commandments of God. But you don't break the commandments of God. You're broken on them. You will reap what you sow. And so if you thumb your nose up at God and say, well, I'm just going to live a life of sexual immorality. Well, you can sow those seeds if you want, but you're going to reap a harvest that is commensurate with the seeds that you have sown. If you say, well, I'm going to lie and cheat and steal, you sow those seeds. Well, that's coming back to you in spades. I love what the scripture has to say in Judges chapter 1. Judges is all about God raising up different judges, Samson, Gideon, people like that, to deliver Israel. And so it says in Judges chapter 1, verse 7 or verse 6, they fought against this guy, the Israelites did, in Canaan, and his name was Adonai Bezek. And they fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. And Adonai Bezek said, well, before that, why do they cut off his thumbs and big toes? If you didn't have any thumbs, you couldn't hold a sword, so you couldn't fight. And if you didn't have any big toes, you couldn't have stability to stand and fight. And Adonai Bezek said this, 70 kings with their thumbs and their big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Hey, this guy knew in the book of Judges that you reap what you sow. It's the law of the harvest, and you can't violate that law. So don't be deceived that you can live any way you want and it doesn't matter. No, the chickens do come home to roost. And if you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption and rottenness. And that's what we saw in Jacob's life. He sowed seeds of deception. He was true to his name, heel grabber, supplanter, con man, trickster. And he met his match in Laban. And you know, it's interesting too. Leah, the oldest daughter, she participated in the scam. Because at any time she could have told her dad, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to pretend to be my sister. He loves Rachel, and I'm not going to get in the middle of that. But she didn't. She participated in it. She obviously thought, well, Jacob is quite a catch, and he can come, you know, he can learn to love me. And so she participated in the scam and told, you know, just as Jacob had told his dad, who are you? I am Esau. Well, she, whether she spoke or whether she just implied it, she passed herself off as Rachel. And he woke up the next day and he saw it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. He was very distraught about that. And as my wife just texted me, she said, well, you know, Jacob did learn to love Leah, but he never loved her as much as Rachel. Now, Rachel gave Jacob, you know, having sons is critical. That is so important. And when he marries Rachel, you know, she's not having children, and Leah is having children. And so Rachel says to Jacob, you know, give me children lest I die. And he said, well, how am I going to do that? I'm not God. I can't open the womb. But she gave him two sons, and she died giving birth to the last one, Benjamin. But she gave him Joseph and Benjamin. And Leah was much more fertile, and she gave him a number of sons, and all those sons, and then gave Jacob her maid, and he went into the maid, and he has kids by the maid. And then Rachel says, well, here's my maid. Go into my maid. So he has sons by Rachel's maid. All in all, he has 12 sons. 12 sons and a daughter, Dinah. And so lots of kids with four different women living under one roof. You can imagine that would be very, very difficult. And they had difficulties in the family, obviously. And the favoritism that was in Jacob's childhood, where his mother favored him and his dad favored Esau, that happened in his family because he favored Rachel's firstborn, Joseph, and the rest of the brothers, save Benjamin, the youngest brother, and the son also of Rachel. All the other brothers hated Joseph because he was daddy's favorite. A word to all of us as parents, and I realize this is a temptation for all of us, but you can't play favorites with your kids. You love your kids the same, but you have to speak their love language. So the love that you show for your kids may be different because a good parent is going to get into the child's world and love the child on the child's home field, so to speak. It can't just be, well, this is how I do parenting and it's one size fits all. No, you gotta tailor it for the child, but you can't show favoritism. Your kids need to know that mom and dad love me, and they love my brothers and sisters, but they love us with an equal love, even though it might be shown in a different way. So, you reap what you sow. Here's the question I want you to consider. What seeds are you sowing? Are you sowing to the flesh? Are you sowing seeds of deceit and lies and cover up in your marriage, in your business, in your family, in your life. The eyes of the Lord are in every place watching the evil and the good. And God doesn't have to visit you with disaster. You're planting the seeds that are going to produce the disaster. As it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. I remember a good friend of mine. This is years and years ago, and he had been married, had kids, and was grossly immoral. He was a very good-looking guy, and he traveled as a salesman, and he would go out of town quite often, and he would pick up girls at the bar or what have you, wherever he was, in the hotel lounge, and he would have sex with these girls, and he was very immoral and lost his marriage because of that. Then he comes to Christ, he marries a beautiful girl, and they have a child together, and I take that back. They didn't have any kids together, but they had a good marriage. They were serving the Lord. But he told me one day, because he was having trouble with his ex-wife, and he said, man, he said, divorce is just horrible. And the difficulties with a blended family and the difficulties with a wife who is bitter because you cheated on her repeatedly, that just creates such distress and such turmoil in a person's life and in a family. And so he was just lamenting to me. He goes, man, divorce is terrible. And it's just the problems don't end. Well, he had sown bad seeds. He caused the demise of his marriage. And now he was reaping that bitter crop. And he didn't like it at all. Hey, sin is never worth it. It's never worth it. You think about the prodigal son. Well, you know, gets the money from his father. Hey, dad, and basically says to his dad, I can't wait around forever for you to die. I wish you were dead. So give me the share of the inheritance that falls to me. And his father brokenheartedly does so. And the son goes off with his inheritance and he leaves and he wastes his wealth with wine, women, and song. And it was fun along the way, as the Bible talks about the passing pleasures of sin. But then he ran out of money and a famine hit and no one was giving anything to him. And he attached himself to a Gentile in the territory where he was living. And the guy put him out to the field to feed the pigs. And you think, man, how can it get any worse for this Jew feeding pigs? It does get worse because the scripture says, Luke 15, that he was longing to eat the pods that the pigs were feeding on, and no one was giving anything to him. Man, he's at the pigsty longing to eat the pig slop. That's what sin does. Sin always leads to the pigsty. There are chills and thrills along the way, along the pathway, but that's where it's going. It always goes to the pigsty. You know, we know that song from The Wizard of Oz, follow the yellow brick road. Well, the yellow brick road led to the wizard and the Emerald City. Where does the road of the prodigal lead? Where does the road of sin lead? It always leads to the pigsty. And that's where you'll find yourself. Now, at the pigsty, and how did you get there? By your own doing. The pigsty is harvest. It's the harvest for sowing to the flesh. And the good news in the parable of the prodigal son, that son came to his senses. And he said, wait a minute. I'm longing to eat pig slop. He said, my father's hired men. They don't eat pig slop. They have more than enough to eat. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he went to the father. He left the pigsty. And when he went to the father saw him while he was a long way off, and he girded up his robe and he ran to his swine stinking son. And he embraced him and he kissed him repeatedly. And he put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger, the ring of authority, and shoes on his feet, and said, this son of mine was dead and has come back to life, and we're going to celebrate. Hey, the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Here's the good news. You don't become a son, a child, a daughter of God by worth. You become a son, a daughter, a child of God by birth. None of us are worthy. We're not worthy to be called his son. But Jesus died for us on the cross and rose again. And the blood of Jesus, God's son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we'll leave the pigsty of sin, that we ourselves, we followed the yellow brick road, so to speak. We went there with our own selfish choices, but we can leave there. And God is the God of mercy and grace and love. And the story of Jacob doesn't end with disaster. It ends on a high note. And God blessed his life and changed his name from Jacob, trickster, supplanter, heel grabber, con man, to Israel, prince with God. And hey, what God did in Jacob's life, he can do in your life. And if you've been sowing to the flesh, you can quit doing that. You can leave the pigsty of sin. Or if you're not at the pigsty yet, but you're sowing seeds of deception and lies and sexual immorality and bitterness and all these terrible seeds, you can turn from that now so that that crop doesn't just grow into this huge field of bitter fruit. God is a good God. Psalm 86, verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant, overflowing in loving kindness to all who call upon him. Well, the phone lines are open. I'd love to take your call as we talk about this subject, the law of the harvest. And maybe you have a short testimony to share, or maybe you have a question regarding that. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you about this important subject. You know, I go back in my mind often to the parable of the prodigal son. Mark Twain called it the greatest short story ever told. And there's so much. I think I did a six-part series on the story from Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. There's so much. It's so rich, and it's just short. But really, here's the thing about the emphasis of the prodigal son. We like to think of it in terms of the younger son, but it was really told, and the emphasis on that story is for the older son, as the scripture refers to him as the elder brother. He was the one that wouldn't rejoice. He was the one that was very upset that the father received back the younger son. He's wasted your wealth with prostitutes, and you receive him back, and you throw a party for this guy? That doesn't make sense at all. Well, he's a picture of the Pharisees, and Jesus told that parable for the benefit of the Pharisees. He said, you don't understand. You get mad because I'm eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. You don't see that you yourself are a sinner. And so you can't enter the kingdom of God because of your rotten pride. Your rotten pride and your self-righteousness. And if you read in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, you'll find that the father is begging the elder brother to come into the party, and he won't do it. He said no. And he has the audacity. He said, Father, I've never neglected a command of yours. Well, how about come into the party? No, not going to do it. And it just kind of leaves it there. And the father says, hey, we had to rejoice. Your brother was dead and has come back to life, and it was right for us to rejoice. And the story just ends, and it doesn't really have a conclusion. What's going to happen? We don't know. Jesus left that open. What were the Pharisees going to do? Well, we know the answer. They said, crucify him, crucify him. As John MacArthur says in his masterful work on the prodigal son, he said what they did was, and how they finished out the story, they picked up a piece of wood with a nail on it, and the elder brother hacked the father to death, just like they nailed Jesus to the cross. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. You reap more than you sow. And the phone lines are open when we come back, 888-589-8840. I'd love to take your call. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
God made His design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles to Asia. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Tears of joy, they're flowing. For weeks now, we've told you of Christians in Asia who are denied God's word, you know, in many parts of this region, including China, India, Indonesia, and the list goes on. You know, as many as 9 of 10 Christians have no access to the word of God. That means they can't read God's precious promises like you and I can do every single day. Here's an elderly woman who reacted when she finally received her own Bible.
She knelt down and she cried. At the age of 60, she never had a Bible.
AFR listeners, you put tears of joy on the faces of 5,000 Bibleist believers in Asia. We want to do it for 16,000 by June 30th. Will you pray about getting involved today, Abraham?
$5 sends a Bible. That's only $5 for a Bible. $100 sends 20. $500 sends 100. You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD. That's 800-YES-WORD. Or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we've been talking about the law of the harvest. Hey, the Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary." We have a choice. We can sow to the flesh. This is, as a Christian, you can do this. You can sow to the flesh and live your Christian life in the power of the flesh, which is disaster. It's going to be effort all the way. And the Christian life is not hard. It's impossible. The only one who can live it is Jesus, and He wants to live it through you. We used to sing that song years ago, "Jesus, be Jesus in me, no longer me, but Thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me." That's the only way to live the Christian life. "I've been crucified with Christ," Paul said, "and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me." Now, when you move off the throne of your life and you say, "Jesus, You be Lord, You be in charge," that's what the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus who lives inside, when He fills every area of your life and you're yielded as his servant. You're yielded to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Now, when you live like that, then you're sowing to the Spirit. You're living in the power of the Spirit. You're doing the things, maybe the same things you were doing, but things done in the flesh are nauseating to God. God hates the flesh because the flesh is the big I. This is what I can do. Lord, look what I can do. God doesn't care what you can do. God wants you to yield to him so he can do it through you. And when you let the Lord do it through you, I can preach in the power of the flesh and it doesn't amount to anything. Or I can preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, as I was talking to Pastor Mike Stone yesterday, you know, sometimes you can preach in the power of the flesh and you can see a lot of people come forward to the altar. You can see them cry and you can see all sorts of visible things, but God's not necessarily using that at all. And then other times you can preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't see any visible results. Nobody comes forward, but God is using that message in people's lives in a great way. Years ago, I preached at a student summer camp, and that's not my forte, and I did it for our church. And it's just talking to high school students is not easy. And so it was tough sledding. I felt like I was swimming in quicksand. And I started, after 3 days of that, I said, Lord, maybe I missed you. Maybe I'm not supposed to be a preacher. And this was just about 10 years ago. It just didn't go well at all. And I found out just some months ago that our student pastor, he said, yeah, God called me in the ministry that week that you were at camp. Well, I didn't know that. So you just don't know what God is doing. But hey, as you live your life yielded to the Spirit, God responds and God uses that. And so let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary, if we do not give up, if we do not quit. We are going to reap a harvest. Goes on to say, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Well, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to call, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to take your call. But let's focus in on this about sowing to the Spirit. You know, we know what happens when you sow to the flesh. And we have been looking at the life of Jacob as he sowed all these seeds of deception, and he reaped a harvest of deception as Laban deceived him, as Leah deceived him, and was very traumatic for him. Why have you deceived me? Oh, it's because I sowed the seeds of deception. But when you think about it in the positive, hey, we reap what we sow, and if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap a great crop. But we can't lose heart in doing good. We will reap in due time. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, you reap later than you sow. We will reap in due time if we do not grow weary. That's why Jesus said, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to quit, not to throw in the towel, not to give up. We just keep on keeping on. So don't lose heart in doing good. Maybe you're listening today and you're about ready to quit with trying to save your marriage. It's like, this isn't working. I just need to give up. Well, maybe you do. Maybe God is telling you, you know, your husband is a serial adulterer and you need to move on. But maybe God is saying to you, hey, don't quit. You're real close to seeing a breakthrough. Don't quit. Keep doing what you know to be doing. I had a guy tell me one time, he said he was a missionary, he's home on furlough, and he said, I don't know if I should continue to be a missionary. I'm kind of in a quagmire here. Maybe I need to get off the mission field. I really don't know. And I said, when you don't know what to do, keep doing the last thing that you were sure God told you to do. So if God called you to be a missionary to this place and you heard that call and it was clear and now you're in kind of a limbo state. Keep doing the last thing you are sure about to do from the Lord, and let Him guide you. God is a good God. He will guide us as we trust Him, and so don't lose heart in doing good. We are going to reap if we don't grow weary. Hey, parents, with your children, especially with children that are wayward, you know, when kids, maybe junior high or high school, they start to buck the system and they don't want to obey and they become rebellious and you put the screws to them perhaps and it seems to be going very poorly and you're ready to just say, I give up. Don't give up. Don't lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. The law of the harvest works in the negative, and it works in the positive. And we will reap a wonderful crop if we don't give up. And that is a great word, especially for pastors, because it's tough. I shared earlier this week about the difficulties pastors face. And every pastor knows about the difficulties. Nobody has a pastorate that's just smooth sailing from start to finish. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, there's going to be opposition. Nehemiah took on the task from the Lord to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And it had been down for decades, many, many decades, over 100 years from the time that Nebuchadnezzar knocked it down. He went to rebuild the wall. That was a huge task, and he had people come against him, Sanballat and Tobiah, coming against him constantly. And he had to keep pushing through, keep trusting the Lord to know that God's called me to do this, and where God guides, God provides. I'm going to trust the Lord. And remember this phrase, God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what He can do. God wasn't going to build the wall. He wasn't going to grab the bricks and put them on there. Nehemiah and the people could do that. But God was going to give favor to the project. God was going to keep the enemy away. God was going to speed up the process, so to speak. And they built the wall in a little over 50 days. Amazing, amazing. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Carmen on the line from Texas. Carmen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to share what I believe the Lord has spoken to me about on the parable of the prodigal son. The scripture says that when the son was walking toward the property of the father saw him a long ways away. Mm-hmm. And what that spoke to me was this. The father was looking for him. He kept mm-hmm. looking out in the distance to see if he would see the son. The same way that our God, our Father, looks for us when we're not walking with him. He's looking. He is just looking out to see if we're walking toward him. Mm-hmm. And I think it really represents the great love of God, the love of the Father toward the Son.
Mm.
So,
yeah, that is
really all I wanted to share.
Yeah, amen. That's a great point, Carmen, because while he was a long way off, how would the Father have seen him a long way off if he hadn't been looking for him? And as I shared when I preached that, you know, every day the father was walking on the porch looking, you know, out in the distance. Maybe today my son will come home. And he was looking for him. And the other thing about that, so he ran to him and embraced him. Now, back in that day, men didn't run. And to run, you would have to gird up your robe, which means you take your robe and you stuff it into your belt so you free up your legs. And it was a shameful thing for a father to show his legs. But he didn't care that it might be considered customarily shameful. It wasn't biblically shameful, but it was customarily shameful. He didn't care because he was running to his son, who was repentant. I tell people this all the time. Listen, if you want to get right with God, regardless of how deeply you've sinned, how badly you've sinned against Him, and the prodigal had sinned so badly against the father, It doesn't matter. If you will leave the pigsty of sin and come to the Father, as the song says, if you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. And people, when they come to their senses and leave the pigsty of sin, they can be forgiven no matter what they've done. Now, the consequences of your sin are still there. God doesn't erase the consequences. Now, he does on a spiritual level, where there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He forgives. But as my pastor when I was in college said, you know, if you go out of here today, he said this on a Sunday morning, you go out of here today and you go to the to a bar and you get super drunk and you get in a fight. And then in the fight, somehow your arm gets severed. He said, you go to the hospital. Hey, your arm's severed. They can't fix it. You lost your left arm. In the hospital, you get right with God. You ask him to forgive you and cleanse you, and he does. But you know what? Your arm doesn't grow back. You have lost your arm. There are consequences associated with sin, and God doesn't erase the consequences. He forgives the sin, but the consequences are still there. Now, I have found in my own life that the goodness of God, when you come to him, the consequences are there, but the Lord in his grace and his mercy and his compassion and his love, he oftentimes minimizes those consequences. They could have been much worse, and God took the consequences and minimized those. So thank you for sharing that, Carmen. God bless you. We have Sydney on the line from Texas. Sydney, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm awesome, thank you. And speaking about reaping what you sow, I have a small comment to make about that. I have taken gigantic lessons in this over the past year and a half, and they taste awful, by the way. they're bad.
Yes.
A year and a half ago, I lost my 23-year-old son in a car accident.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And he loved the Lord, would talk to anyone about Jesus. He worked at a local grocery store, and he was unashamed. He was on fire. And I did all the things. I took him to church. I gave him a hug before, summer camp. I did all of those things that I thought were right and that I thought were good. But when I lost him, I had nothing to hang on to in spiritually. The God and the Jesus that I had taught my son to love and be so close to, I did not have myself. And so I was so busy with world and materials and, I got to make the house payment. I need to feed the dogs. My kitchen is dirty. All of these worldly things I had blocked out completely, that this is not where I belong. And this is not my home. And I was reaping what I had sown for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to reconnect real quick,
yeah.
And I did.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that, Sydney. And that's the great thing about the Lord, is no matter how badly we may have sinned and messed up in life, we can leave the pigsty of sin. We can come back. The consequences are there, but God is merciful and gracious, and he washes white as snow. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. We'll be back tomorrow talking to Michael Woolworth from the Bible League International. And so, hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.